It is time for worship and wellness, friends. The best way to start your day. Stay happy and healthy today's in. It's called the Refreshing Way. Start your day the Refreshing Way. There's quiz time with questions and testimonies. Always a time for prayer. It's your worship and wellness broadcast. Start your day, enjoy day, the Refreshing.
Good morning, everyone. God bless each one of you. It is our custom, as much as we can, if we have an out-of-town commitment, you are our family, our church family, and we try to, if we can't record it or have you all live where we were, the signal was really bad, so we just recorded the audio. It's a 36-minute sermon entitled, How to Postpone Your Funeral. They had a little problem with their PA, so I know at least portions of the message were a little distorted because of the sound. I'm standing not too far from the speaker. It was a small church, and that's just how they had it. So I apologize for that, but I think you'll be able to get through it. And so worship is how to postpone your funeral, and then wellness is happiness and health, and that's presented by Sister Lenny. We may not have the intermission song, okay? So that being said, without any further ado, we will play How to Postpone Your Funeral. Father, bless us as we have worship in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Sabbath, everyone. We're continuing on in our messages, our service. Our title is Think Outside the Box, Plan Your Wellness, Postpone Your Funeral. Amen?
Amen.
Think outside the box. Think while you're outside the box. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We ask for your Holy Spirit to guide us. We ask that you be with us as we share your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Am I a psychic? Well, I'm not a psychic. However, when you bring a group of people, there's so much sickness in the world today that if I was to act like some of these preachers and say, there's somebody in here that has some arthritis, there's somebody in here that has some diabetes, I'd probably be correct, okay? But I'm not a psychic. The bottom line is sickness is very prevalent, and we need to be able to help people. But I want to ask you a question. If you knew ahead of time exactly what disease you would die from, but you could change the outcome, would you do anything about it?
Yes.
If you knew exactly what disease was going to kill you, but you had time to do something about it, would you do anything about it? So therefore, you see this man, he's thinking, because he's thinking, hey, if I don't change, I'm going to be in this box. So we want to think outside the box, okay? The box is a casket. Science and the Bible. You know, the Bible says that we should avoid science, falsely so-called, and we need true science, okay? A lot of people will not believe something unless there's a double-blind study. You know, the Bible speaks of being double-blind. It says, when the blind lead the blind, they both fall in the ditch. Okay? Double-blind studies are not effective science because there's a lot of politics involved. The FDA gives pharmaceutical companies complete control of the study to bring a drug to market. The pharmaceutical company now then hires contract research organizations to oversee the study.
They work for the pharmaceutical company. So the entity that's supposed to make sure that this is safe is getting their check from the pharmaceutical company. And the criterion for acceptance is now positive change, not the overall health of the patient. We're going to learn in our lesson this afternoon that one out of every 40 people who took the Pfizer shot died within 3 months, and they told us it was safe. That's not conspiracy theory. We have Pfizer's data, okay? So, but they can bring it to market because they saw some good things happening to the immune system. So they didn't say how many died. They said, well, there's positive change, and we can bring this to market. So, friends, you can't even trust what they say is authentic science anymore. This is a bag of drugs, and this is me when I was a little bit younger. This is a bag of drugs from one of my health guests. She came taking all these drugs, and she left taking none of these drugs. So we put them in a Ziploc bag, and she gave a testimony. Now, they just overdrugged her. They do that with senior citizens a lot. So those of you who are getting up in age, be careful, because they're just very quick to throw a pill on you that you don't even need, okay? So some of this medication, it was ridiculous, but a lot of it, this one caused that one, so they needed something to counteract that, so then they had to have that side effect, something to counteract that, and that it was basically a domino effect as to why she was on so much medication. The Bible says that the Bible is a book that brings health to all our flesh in Proverbs 4, and the ministry of healing is said in the 9th volume of the Testimonies to have the wisdom of the great physician. The Bible says, why should you die before your time? Now, when people die, most preachers will comfort the family by saying what? It was his or her time. The Bible says, why should you die before your time? Now, a lot of us are like this woman. When anybody wants to talk about the health message, we do this. We don't want to hear anything because you're trying to tell me what's in my refrigerator. You can't tell me what's in my refrigerator. You can't tell me what I can eat in my cupboard. I'm young or I'm old, whatever you want to say, but I'm old enough to know. And my friends here, we have this attitude, and that attitude is killing us. Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Listen to this from Testimonies to Ministers, page 437. God will not condemn any at the judgment because they honestly believed a lie or conscientiously cherished error. But it will be because they neglected opportunities of making themselves acquainted with the truth. The infidel will not be condemned. Sorry, the infidel will be condemned not because he was an infidel. That means he didn't believe. But because he did not take advantage of the means God placed within his reach to enable him to become a Christian. There are many people who will die, and they will die because they didn't know the truth. But God will not judge them because they didn't know the truth. He will judge them based on, did they reject the opportunities to learn the truth? So friends, keep coming where truth is being taught, and therefore you won't be disappointed. You know I'm a poet, and the word reject rhymes with neglect. If you are lost, it will be because you rejected or neglected God's truth. That's the only reason why you'll be lost. If you don't reject or neglect God's truth, you're guaranteed to be saved. Now, a lot of people, when you deal with health and science, they use what's called the letter method. Okay? The letter method is letters that are often behind your name. So if my name is Shellum Fleming and you were to add, which this is not what I have, but if you were to add MD behind my name, I could tell you almost anything. I could tell you that this clicker will give you good nutrition. And because you see MD behind my name, a lot of people say, well, can I get one for breakfast?
Yeah.
And some people use a different set of letters, PhD. There's nothing wrong with using the letter method. It's as long as you don't neglect the word method. See, Jesus did not have the letters behind his name. The Bible says, they said of him, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? That was a statement of bigotry. They were basically saying, how can he know this when he didn't get a degree from our school? You see, that's bigotry. As if I don't get a degree from your school, I don't know anything. You see, we learn from the Word of God, friends, things that are not taught in 12 years of medical school. Okay? I don't know if there's anybody in here contemplating medical school, but I'm here to tell you, you'll learn principles in the Bible that they do not learn in medical school how to cure cancer. That's why so many people are dying of cancer. They do not learn in medical school how to cure diabetes. That's why so many people are dying of diabetes. They do not learn how to cure hypertension, because if they knew how to cure it, they would eat differently. In my book, my biblical booster book, so some of you who may not know, I wrote a book. It's called The Biblical Booster. I don't have a copy of it because it's in draft form, but I'll show you a picture of it. It's 320 pages. That may change. It's going to the editors. And we have a few blank pages for endorsees, people who might endorse the book. But I can tell you right now, it's going forward whether I get anybody to endorse it, because it's endorsed by God. Amen?
Amen.
And so in my book, I talk about how we're not against medical doctors. And it says, one of my little poetic phrases says, we need you, therefore we feed you. They don't eat right. And it shows how that, see, in modern medicine, they think that when they're in class, they're in getting a lecture, or they're in lab, they think that when they leave the classroom or the lab, that they're out of school. So they go over to the fast food restaurant and they don't realize that they're still in class.
Amen.
Or they go over to the vending machine,
Amen.
They're still in class. Or they go over to the designated smoking area, they're still in class. So part of my little poetry says, they're cheating on their maker, having a date with the undertaker. And they paid for the date with the installment rate of deep-fried suicide. Okay? So, brothers and sisters, because they were in school, they learned wrong.
Right. Amen.
So they can't teach you to get rid of Pop-Tarts, because that's what they ate for breakfast. They can't teach you to eat a plant-based diet because they're eating Big Mac. You see? So they just didn't learn right. Jesus learned right. And he said he called his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority, listen to this, over all devils and to cure diseases. Did he say you have power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases if you have your degree?
No.
He didn't say that. This book gives us authority over cancer. We can go cure cancer. We don't have to have a degree to do that. You won't have too many people believe in that. But I'm telling you, that's what God has done. It's what's in the Bible. The Savior's commission to the disciples includes all believers. It includes all believers in Christ to the end of time. So the gospel commission, which is a health message combined with the gospel, is for our time as well. It's like having a MasterCard, the master's card. Now, as my friend says, tell the truth, shame the devil. If you could have a credit card that had an unlimited balance that you never had to pay, and it had an unlimited credit limit, I should say, and you never had to pay the bill, would you want that credit card?
Oh, yeah.
Tell the truth, shame the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah, you would, because you could use it for God, amen?
Amen?
Amen. You do have one. It's the gospel commission. God has promised all the resources of heaven. He said he will be with us always, so it never has an expiration date. And he owns a cattle on a thousand hills. And as my daddy used to say, he owns a, let me see. My daddy would talk about this city, like it's called Dodge City. I think it's in Kansas. And where the Bible says a God owns a cattle on a thousand hills, daddy would say there's a thousand cattle on every hill in Dodge City or something like that, daddy would say. He ain't came up with all these phrases. Maybe that's where I got it from. I don't know. But anyway, God is good. And so we have this gospel commission. This is my cousin. You might have heard of a group before you were converted called Earth, Wind, and Fire. Okay? My cousin, his name is Wade Flemons. You see his tombstone. He is my first cousin, or was my first cousin. Wade died before his time. Wade died, I forget how old he was, 40, 50, something like that. But the bottom line, he would be my first cousin. He was older than I am, but he is a first cousin. And he was one of the lead singers in the original Earth, Wind, and Fire. So that's not where I don't think I got my musical talent from, but I think it really came on my mom's side. But he was a singer, and you can look him up. You can go online and look up Wade Flemons. I'll tell you a little secret about Earth, Wind, and Fire. A lot of these groups, they are set up to defy the Bible. They got their name from the story of Elijah, where when Elijah ran from a woman, remember that, Jezebel? And then God was trying to nurture him and help him to understand that he was with him. He put him on the side of a cliff, and there was a earthquake, but God wasn't in the earthquake. There was wind, strong wind. God wasn't in the wind. And there was fire, and God wasn't in the fire. And then God came to him in a still, small voice. So Earth, Wind, and Fire says, we are God. And when we do our music, it's like Earth, Wind, and Fire. And they're basically defying God by so doing. That's the scripture. You'll read about it in 1 Kings 19, 11, and 12. That's my father. My father did not raise me. My parents were divorced when I was very young. But my father died before his time. Now, Daddy was in his 80s when he died, and he ate at McDonald's every day. Now, we don't believe the theology of what I'm about to say. The theology is wrong, okay? But there's a little phrase that says, when you eat at the Golden Arches, you're on your way to the pearly gates.
No.
Now, we know when we die, we don't go straight to heaven, right? We know that. But my daddy ate at McDonald's every day. My daddy would have easily been, I forgot what they call a person that can live 100,
centurion.
Not a centurion, because that's a soldier. Centennial or something of that nature. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. I'm going to look it up afterwards, because I got to get it right. My wife will tell you, I mess up on that all the time. I really need to memorize it. Okay? But anyway. My dad would easily have lived over 100. He had good genes. It's just that you can have good genes, but you eat at McDonald's every day. I'm sorry. McDonald's is stronger than your genes. Are you listening to the heartbeat of the Bible? That's the question. Are we listening to the heartbeat of the Bible? Now listen to this. World War I took about 4 years, 5 years to fight. World War II took about 5 years to fight. So that means it was a total of 10 years to fight World War I and World War II. World War I and World War II caused 77 million deaths. Directly attributable to the war. They were people who were shot, blown up, starved to death, whatever, as a direct cause of the war. In a 10-year period of time, 82 million die of cancer. More than died in 10 years of war, in the largest wars of our country, of this world. Okay? If you think that's something, heart attack and stroke, in 10 years of time, 140 million deaths in our world will take place that are heart attack and stroke deaths. May I suggest to you, my brothers and sisters, that the weapons of mass destruction are before you. It is our fork, knife, spoon, and plate. They kill more people than guns. Now, we're talking about all, they're fighting over whether we should have guns and talking about all this gun violence. They need to take away people's plates and forks.
Amen.
Now, really, not really, but what we put on those plates. What we put on those forks is very, very important, my friends. Now, this is the scripture. We already talked about this. God says, if you would diligently hearken, he said, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. And we learn that they have the same diseases that we have today. The diseases of Egypt are listed there. It's cancer, arthritis. And these scientists that dig up the ancient mummified bodies and do autopsies, they found these diseases, my friends. We already read this. He brought them forth with silver and gold. There was not one feeble person
among their tribes. And I'm just going to go through this quickly. This is the verse I made reference to where they wanted four verses later. When God says, if you obey, you won't get sick. Four verses later, they wanted their Big Mac. They had a Big Mac attack. The next verse, God says, I'm going to test them to see if they'll obey, and I'm going to let the food they want, that they need to eat, come from heaven. I have a brother. I hope to see him today. He said he's going to try to make it. He's in Atlanta. He's a singer. His name is Stan. And so on November 5, 2009, I called him. And I said, how are you doing, man? We talked a little bit. And he said, well, yeah, I'm doing fine, man, but I had a little challenging day. I said, what happened? He said, I was stranded at Walmart. Now, that was very interesting because earlier that same day, I was stranded at Walmart. Now, what is the likelihood of two brothers about a year apart, totally different locales? I was in a different state. Well, actually, I wasn't. I was in Blairsville, Georgia. He was down here in Atlanta. So we were about 2 hours apart. What's the likelihood of two brothers being stranded at Walmart the same day? I think that's an interesting thing. God allowed it to happen so I would have something to say in this sermon. So anyway, I said, well, what happened? He told me about his situation. He said, well, what happened with you? I said, well, I dug in the trash can. I got my car started. Did y'all hear what I said? I dug in the trash can and got my car started. So he starts laughing, and they think I'm telling him a joke, but I was actually telling him the truth. What happened was his car problem was different than mine. My car problem was that I lost my keys. So I went into Walmart, and when I came back out, I could not find my keys. So I walk in, I retrace my steps, did all that, couldn't find my keys. I should have done what I did later, before. What should I have done? Prayed about it. Amen. I prayed about it in like a panoramic view. I remember sitting in the car, taking the final bite of an apple with a plastic bag hanging from my pinky finger. And then as I took a bite of the apple, I just dropped it in. So the keys were hanging on my pinky finger, sorry. The keys were hanging on my pinky finger. I was finishing my lunch. I took the last bite, dropped it in the plastic bag, you know, little bags, little Walmart bags, and I, you see what I did? The keys are on the pinky, and I tied up the bag. It didn't make any noise because it's in a bag. I walk into Walmart and throw it in the trash can. The Lord reminded me of my keys hanging on my pinky. Amen. So, my sister, what's your name?
Reese.
I had to humble myself, Reese. I had to humble myself. I knew I was going to have to walk up there and dig in the trash can. Now, this is a wonderful story because we live in a society of racism. And when I lived in Blairsville, Georgia, my house had the highest concentration of African Americans in the whole county. So there were very few of us. So everybody walking past me is white. And here I am digging in the trash can. But I'll tell you something. People walked up to me. There was a Subway sandwich shop inside. They were just walking up to me. Hey, young man, just go ahead and get your mask. I was probably embarrassing them, you know. And I said, no, it's not like that. But I found my keys and missed all the trash and everything, and I got my car started. Now, why did I tell you that story? It has a moral, and I believe the Lord allowed this to happen so it would have this moral. The key was the food. The key was in the food. Friends, we got to watch what we eat. And we need to make sure, as Pastor used the word garbage, that we're not eating garbage. We need to be eating foods that feed us, not just foods that taste good. Okay? The food can still taste good. What's that, babe?
The food that sustains us.
That can sustain us.
Amen.
We should not live to eat. We need to eat to live. Okay? And we'll be so much happier. It's no fun to be sick. And so we need to follow God's health plan that he has given us in the Bible. Notice what it says in Second Selected Messages 3:46. Natural means used in accordance with God's will bring about
supernatural results.
Amen.
So God has supernatural results that he can bring to us, my friends. And he wants us to be the head and not the tail. Notice this scripture. It says, surely this great nation shall be a wise and understanding people. Friends, when you know how to deal with the diseases of our day, cancer, arthritis, diabetes, and it's a lot of it's just lifestyle. You don't have to have female problems, ladies. We don't have to have prostate problems, men. We can overcome this with help of the Lord using his lifestyle plan. I have a question. Are you awake? Everybody awake? Did Jesus, and my wife can't answer because she knows the answer. So, did Jesus ever spit on anybody?
No.
I'm talking about spit on them.
No.
Okay? Everybody agree? That he never spit on anybody.
Directly.
I'm talking about. Everybody say no. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw aught. Now, I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, but you can tell my personality. I just love engaging with the audience. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll walk up to somebody like Reese or somebody else or Sister King. And I'll say, Sister King, I want you to know there's healing power in my spit. And I know that, you know, you want to stay healthy and you want to stay alive. And can I spit on you? And you know what? Even if I ask little children, Japheth's age, I say, can I spit on you? They like high behind mommy and all that kind of thing. So, the Bible says that Jesus did what he did so that we would follow his example. Was he teaching us to spit on people?
No.
But this is what he was teaching us. Sometimes the thing that you need to do is something that the world would call radical.
Mm.
That's the lesson.
Yes.
That's what he was trying to teach. The things that God asks us to do, it's not radical, but the world would call it radical, my friend. You eat what? You don't eat no meat, no fish, no chicken, no huevo, no carne, no leche. That's the only Spanish I know, really. I know a little bit more. But, you know, that sounds crazy to people. But I'm here to tell you, it is much crazier to eat yourself to death. That's radical. I'm going to eat a diet that I know causes cancer. That's radical. We've got it all wrong. That's why I'm glad we think like Jesus. We're talking about postponing your funeral. So let me give you a few principles before we close out. The Bible says, the curse causeless shall not come. What this means is that every disease has a cause. Okay? Every disease has a cause. So instead of just popping a pill, we should say, okay, what is the cause of this disease? The Bible says we should search for the cause in Job 29:16. That was Proverbs 26:2 for the recording. Job 29:16, the cause which I knew not, I searched out. So we shouldn't just say, what can I take for this, you know, problem, that we should say, what have I done to cause this problem? Have I been drinking my water? Or have I been drinking Coca-Cola? Have I been getting to bed on time? Or have I been staying up watching movies? Have I been, you know, eating plant-based diet or the flesh of a dead animal? You see, have I been eating a lot of sugar? And that type of thing. And then we were looking for the cause. So, said another way, this is from the pen of inspiration, disease never comes without a cause. The way is prepared and disease invited by disregard of the laws of health. Many suffer in consequence of the transgression of their parents, While they are not responsible for what their parents have done, it is nevertheless their duty to ascertain what are and what are not violations of the laws of health. They should avoid the wrong habits of their parents and by correct living place themselves in better conditions. So that's what the Bible says. I mean, the spirit of prophecy says. So let me explain that. We live in an age of cell phones. I saw a documentary where some children were shown a rotary phone. And they were asked, what is this? And they didn't know what it was. And they told them, this is a phone. I said, man, that's big. And they asked them, how would you send a text message with this phone? And the kids were picking it up, looking all around, looking for the keypad, you know, the punch pad. It doesn't have one. It's a rotary phone. And one of them was pretty smart. He said, ABC. Okay, so if I hit that AB, you know, so what he did is, you know, his ABC. So he said, dun dun for B. And DEH, or whatever it is, ABCDEFG, EFG. If you want to do an H, he went, dun dun, you know? And if you wanted a G, he would go, dun 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 for the G. I was pretty smart. So they told him, yeah, good try, but you can't, they said, you can't text with this phone. Those kids went crazy. Like, I can't text. They thought the end of the world was coming. No, they thought that those people lived in at the time of the end of the world. I thought I was doing something. I had one of the first cell phones. It was a big old bag. Remember those bag phones? I thought I was a contractor. I thought I was pretty smart. I thought I was pretty something. Had a carry bag, and I was walking up the mall and picking up my cell phone. I'm something. You know, those things are so antiquated now, it's not even funny. And so, if you could pick up your phone and dial diabetes, ring, 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 and diabetes answers and says, hello, may I speak to diabetes? Diabetes says, speaking. Diabetes, I have a wonderful vacation home for you right here. I want you to come and I want you to live here. You can stay as long as you want. You don't have to pay any rent. It's like having a timeshare, and I'll share my time with you. That's what is being said. We invite disease by disregard of the laws of health. People call up cancer. Cancer, how are you? I'm doing fine. I have a place for you. Why don't you come and live with me and vacation with me? By the habits of our life, we're inviting disease, friends. And that's what we should not do. So we have a divine definition of disease. Disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that result from a violation of the laws of health. That is not a definition you will learn in medical school. It's not. We believe disease is an effort to get rid of toxins and to bring things back into balance. They don't understand disease that way. That's why they treat disease with toxic drugs. Now, the symptoms of a common cold, they are coughing, sneezing, and runny nose, and I'm hot. So I'm going to ask Jason, how old are you?
8.
You're 8 years old. I have a question for you. Let me bring my phone. Jason, I wanted to know, is it all right if I cough on you?
No.
I can't cough on you? Okay, Jason, I have to sneeze. You know how people sneeze? They go, Can I sneeze on you?
No.
I can't sneeze on you?
No.
Now, how old is Jason? He's 8 years old. Jason is so hot. Whew, Jason, can I just wipe all my sweat on you?
No.
No. Now, he's 8 years old, and he's old enough to know that coughing... Sorry about that. He's old enough to know that coughing removes toxins. He's old enough to know that sneezing removes toxins. He's old enough to know that sweating removes toxins. Well, guess what? If you go to the medical doctor, he'll give you something to stop the cough. Mm-hmm. He'll give you something to stop the sneezing. Mm-hmm. He'll give you something to stop the fever. Mm-hmm. Now, natural remedies also can stop the cough, but they don't trap the poisons inside.
Amen.
The drugs trap the poisons inside.
Amen.
That's the difference. The antihistamine traps the poisons inside.
The other things trap the poisons inside, if you're sweating. So that's the difference, friends. We use natural remedies. Notice what it says. People need to be taught that drugs do not cure disease. It is true that they sometimes afford present relief, and the patient appears to recover as a result of their use. This is because nature has sufficient vital force to expel the poison and to correct the conditions that cause the disease. Health is recovered in spite of the drug, but in most cases, the drug only changes the form and location of the disease. Often the effect of the poison seems to be overcome for a time. The poison is the drug, but the results remain in the system and work great harm at some later period. So we want to stop taking drugs as we educate and improve our bodies. And I would say 99% of all drug medication can be eliminated once we get our bodies in better working order.
Amen.
Now, sometimes you don't even have that organ anymore. It was removed. And sometimes things have been removed from our body that work for us. And so we have challenges because those things just aren't there. But the point being made is that you're still better off following God's health plan.
Amen.
We're wrapping things up, brothers and sisters. This is the Garden of Gethsemane. It's the real Garden of Gethsemane. And based on the width of that tree, because you know every year a tree develops a new ring and it gets wider and wider. Based on the width of that tree was around when Jesus was there. Jesus could have leaned on that tree. I want us to think about the things that Jesus gave up for us. He owned all heaven. And he did not find, we're told, heaven was not a place for him to desire. Heaven was not a place to be desired while we were lost. That's just something to contemplate. We like to live in nice homes, nothing wrong with that. We like, you know, a nice life. Jesus left the nicest home and the nicest life to come down here and be humiliated and crucified and destroyed, but he did it to save us.
Amen.
So shouldn't we be willing to make a few changes of our lifestyle for him?
Amen.
Amen. So my brothers and sisters, let's just do like that. Let's just do that. Jesus even refused a mind-altering drug. Now, we're not saying that you can't take something for pain, but let's try to fight it as much as we can. And God will help us if we are faithful to him. And so we just want to close by asking a question. How many of us want to rededicate our lives to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be even more faithful than I already am in the health message that you've given us? Amen. Let's pray.
We'll go ahead and have our closing prayer at the end of the broadcast. We, because of the time, we're going to go ahead and turn it right over to Sister Lenny, who is going to be sharing with us about health and happiness. Sorry, happiness and health. Sister Lenny.
Good morning. Happy Monday. Happiness and health. The sympathy which exists between the mind and the body is very great. When one is affected, the other responds. The condition of the mind has much to do with the health of the physical system. If the mind is free and happy under a consciousness of right doing and a sense of satisfaction in causing happiness to others, it will create a cheerfulness that will react upon the whole system, causing a freer circulation of the blood and a toning up of the entire body. The blessing of God is a healer. And those who are abundant in benefiting others will realize that wondrous blessing in their hearts and lives. This health segment falls under true and false systems of mind cure from the book called Medical Ministry, page 105. Have a happy day, and God bless you.
Amen. Amen. What a blessing. All right, my brothers and sisters, the phone lines are open. We have about 20 minutes to the top of the hour. If there is anyone that would like to share anything, you can press *6. As it relates to roll call, I sent a message on Facebook with a link as to how they can listen online. And I do have Sister Lenny still on in case anyone had any questions for her. And but we have representation from Maryland, from Alabama, from Maryland again. We also have representation from Delaware, from about to say St. Louis. That's where I'm from, and I noticed the zip, the area code. Missouri, we have Ohio, and we have Georgia. So we were in Jonesboro, Georgia, at a little church called Heavenly Messenger Free Seventh Day Adventist Church. Some people may not know it. There's another organization that is not the General Conference of Free Seventh Day Adventists, but it's called the General Conference of Seventh Day Adventists. It's the General Assembly of Free Seventh Day Adventists, and it started during the time of racism in the early 1900s. Very, very small, but many of our friends and some people choose to, you know, use that organization so they can still have the name Seventh Day Adventist, because it was the name was in the 80s was trademarked. So you can't say, oh, I'm going to teach the truth and you're going to start your own Seventh Day Adventist church. They will sue you, but they can't do that if you're part of the Free Seventh Day Adventist. So there are some friends of ours there. And to our great, wonderful surprise, we found out it was only 10 minutes from Sister Winston. We called her, and Sister Winston, the devil was trying to keep her from getting there, but she got there, and we spent the day with Sister Winston. It was such a blessing. My brothers and sisters, we have one other message that was recorded, and that was the Biblical Booster. And so let's say tomorrow is Tuesday. We may play that tomorrow, and you all will pretty much be caught up. There was a Friday message that wasn't recorded, and the natural remedy demonstration and presentation from my wife was not recorded as well. But you will get what we got. You will get what we recorded. So the Lord is good. Is there anyone that wants to share anything? Please feel free to press *6. If somebody has a testimony, a prayer request, if there's anything, please let us know. We're coming not too far from the end of January. We are in 2023, brothers and sisters. Jesus is coming soon. You know, it wasn't long ago that we were at a Health and Freedom Summit, and I'll tell you, the what did Jesus say? The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. I'll tell you, since we have a little time, what my perspective is of that. That was the first time I had been in a pretty much dominant, in a large group, okay, that was pretty much, if anybody was Democrat, they were too ashamed to say it, okay? So they were all Republican, and that manifested. I mean, there were Trump tables and selling Trump, you know, MAGA gear and all kinds of stuff, but it was a Health and Freedom Summit. So there were a lot of people with various supplements and natural products and things of this nature. People who promoted things, wrote books on what really happened in Wuhan, China with the coronavirus. It was just all kinds. There were talk show hosts there, and one of them lassoed me, and I was on the Robert Scott Bell show. You can Google that. He had his gear all set up, so we recorded right there at the summit at his table. And the Lord is good, and he held up my book. Of course, it's in draft form, but he held it up. And I want to say this, that what we know and what, for example, what Sister Lenny is presenting, things that are from the Ministry of Healing that tell us how to reach people and how to stay well, they don't know these things. It wasn't a lot of people there promoting a plant-based diet. There wasn't a lot of emphasis on changing your health and lifestyle. They were talking about what happens, and we know a lot of what happened with the government and what they're doing and all of that and how it's taken away our freedom, and those are important topics. But, you know, if they could only know what they really want is, and I probably might have been the only person there that was nonpartisan, what they really want is more votes so they can change the political climate to save this country, okay? Being there inspired a sermon title, or at least inspired something that I plan to put in a message one day when I'm in their venue. And you all might remember the former president said that we must, to save our country, we must fight like H-E-L-L. I'm going to have a thought, either a message or put it in my message, how to fight like heaven to save this country. Now, what they don't know is, see, we know the country's not going to be saved, because Ellen White says, as it speaks about the two-horned beast, which is the United States, which the two horns were like a lamb, but they spoke like a dragon. It, the Bible says, is going to cause the whole world to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark. That's all going to start in America. And so Ellen White says national apostasy will lead to national ruin. The United States is going down. We know that from prophecy. They don't know that. But we are still to stand for freedom. We are still, because freedom is what Jesus stood for. So even though we stand on the Sabbath, even though they're going to make it illegal, we stand on it. We still promote it. We try to keep them from doing it, although we know prophetically it's going to happen. And that's the beauty of prophecy. The Bible says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets unto his servants, the prophets, Amos 3:7. And so we have this knowledge that they don't have. But here's the thing. They really want more votes. They really want to swing the country toward Republicanism. And they were talking. I mean, there were doctors there, a doctor anyway, who walked around never without his Bible. He's actually running for, if you Google, I don't know if you can Google this, but you probably can. His name is John Witcher, W-I-T-C-H-E-R, but he's running for governor. I mean, these are the caliber of people. These are politicians, but he led out in Mississippi against mandates and a big movement to try to stop the mandates in Mississippi, and they all want to be like Florida. See, Florida being a Republican state, they resisted the mandates, and they made it free. You can't get in trouble for giving ivermectin and that kind of thing in Florida. You see, that's a drug they give when people have COVID. It helps in the earlier stages of COVID. But see, they don't understand. We know what to do in the later stages of COVID. As long as the person is conscious, you know, we can help reverse with natural remedies. Ivermectin doesn't work in the later, when it gets kind of advanced. And so the point I'm trying to make is that they need the gospel just like the Democrats do. They don't know about God's healing plan. And if they actually knew what we learn in the book of, in the Bible, in the book Ministry of Healing, it says that, I'm trying to get the phrase, Christ's method alone, okay? Christ's method alone, I may not get it perfectly, is the only way to reach the people. And it just talks about how he ministered to their needs and won their confidence. Then he bade them follow me. You see, they're so politically charged that they'll give some good information and then they'll say, I voted for Trump. You know, that's exactly what a Democrat does not want to hear, because, see, even though they have a lot of good principles and they're trying to bring, in other words, these Republicans I was around, they wouldn't be for same-sex marriages and the homosexual agenda and all these types of things. So those are good things, you see. But at the same time, you won't hear them denouncing what happened on January 6th. You see, the insurrection, that was mob violence, just like mob violence was attached to BLM, Black Lives Matter. They'll talk about Black Lives Matter and how it turned out to be a lot of violence connected with it. But they won't talk about the insurrection. I didn't see too many people of color in the Capitol. So my point being made, brothers and sisters, is this is a sin problem, not a skin problem. It's a sin problem. And you are not accepting the gospel because you're Republican. You're not accepting the gospel because you're Democrat. We've got a message. These people need to hear the message. And it's a message that if we get invited to speak on the left, we can speak. If we get invited to speak on the right, we can speak. Because the message of Jesus is a message that's not of politics, but of principles. And that is the only way to save a country. You can't save it by politics. You've got to save it by principles. See, politics causes you to claim that you follow principles, but you can't go against the party. And see, that's the problem. Well, Jesus wasn't with the party. He was King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, my brothers and sisters, it was an amazing experience. God is taking us different places, different scenarios, different groups of people. Keep us in prayer. We are striving to get as much done as we can before the next wellness retreat, which it appears is going to be sometime in February. And just keep everything in prayer. God is moving. We appreciate your prayers. We appreciate your support. And if there's anything we can do for you, if you have a health problem, let us know. We'll do all we can. Some things are challenging. We don't have all the answers, but we will keep looking for it if we don't, by the grace of God. That being said, it's time for our closing prayer. And my wife on Dream Dove will take us to the throne of grace at this time.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for the message. We ask that you will bless everyone in a special way on this day. Help us, Lord, to do all we can to stay faithful to you. For we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, our closing song is I Will Trust in the Lord. But he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution. And in the world to come, eternal life.
Therefore, if we do our part in faith, God would open ways before us now on Dream Dove. God bless you.
I will trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will to my